This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. New from Moultrie Mobile, the Feed Hub offers first-of-its-kind cellular connection and control for nearly any spin cast feeder on the market. When used with the Moultrie Mobile app, you can monitor feed and battery levels, run feeders on demand, receive alerts when feeders are clogged, and remotely adjust feeding times. The Feed Hub is ideal for anyone who maintains feeders. Remove the guesswork and save time by planning feeder maintenance before you drive to your hunting property. For more information, visit MoultrieMobile.com.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Hey guys and gals, welcome to the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast, brought to you by Arrowhead Land Company. Here you will be educated, entertained, and equipped to get more out of your outdoor experience. So hold on tight, because here we go. What's going on, folks? Welcome to the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast. I am your exhausted host, John Hutsmith, and welcome to the show. Why am I exhausted, you may ask? Well, it's just been a rough couple days. We had a really busy weekend. We had some family stuff. We had a funeral. And so just kind of running around. Didn't really get to relax this weekend. And then I've had a tough couple days at work. Yesterday, I ended up having to work late. Didn't get home till about 8:30. And my wife is out of town, so I also have our daughter by myself. So, had to do the whole bedtime routine last night, wake up with her this morning, back to work. Had to work late again today, so I'm recording this pretty late. And I'm supposed to leave for Nebraska tomorrow morning, and I have yet to, do this podcast. I have yet to pack myself. I have yet to pack my daughter, get any of my gear together. And so it's just been a lot lately. But I'm here. I want to get an episode out to you guys. And I got some stuff that's kind of been on my mind a little bit. So, we're going to have a nice, good episode. Might be a little shorter than normal, possibly. But a really good one. More. Is that how the saying goes? I don't know, but I'm not going to redo it. Real quick before we get too far, I realized when I kind of re-listened to last week's episode that I think I briefly mentioned the hunt I did with the Oklahoma Outdoor Outreach Foundation, but I didn't really give you guys any details of how that hunt went. And so I wanted to pump the brakes and talk about that because, as always, you know, it's just a great organization. So I want to make sure I give them their due. And so I was up there weekend before last. I believe we had 12 youth hunters and 5 adult hunters. And these are all hunters with disabilities. It just ranges all over the place. But again, just an awesome organization that bends over backwards to take these guys and gals and girls and boys hunting. They have, you know, blinds that can open up to roll a wheelchair in. They have those death grip bipods to hold the guns. They have like adapters that they can attach to a gun so you can look at it on either a phone or an iPad if you're visually impaired. So they're kind of saying is that they'll make it happen. Like if you want to hunt, they'll make it happen. It was a really good time. I got to hunt with 2 sisters that were just adorable. Awesome. Great family. Obviously got to meet their parents. Mom came with us for the afternoon hunt. Dad came with us for the morning hunts. And just a whole lot of fun. We ended up not getting a turkey. We saw some jakes. They were kind of far out, though. I don't think I ranged them. I want to say they were kind of 40 yards, but moving and just didn't really give us a good shot that you want, you know, kind of a more inexperienced youth hunter to take. And so, unfortunately, my hunter did not get a bird, but plenty of others did. I think we ended up killing 10, so we went 10 for 17. So over half, which, pretty dang good, especially with, you know, numbers kind of being down. One positive, and I can't remember if I mentioned this last week or maybe the week before, but it just keeps kind of ringing true. Tons and tons of jakes, driving around the roads and hunting, lots of young birds out there. So that's very, very promising to see. Seems like we had a really good hatch, which I've been saying since about this time last year. I felt like I'd seen a lot of good hatches and young turkeys and stuff. So hopefully we can have one more, you know, good year of that, and hopefully we can have some nice population boom. So, as always, really cool experience, really good hunt. Look them up. They'll be doing 2 hunts this fall for deer hunts. They do a hunt in Fairview, Oklahoma, up northwest, and then they also do a hunt during rifle season down around Paul's Valley. That's the one I went to last year, and again, just an awesome event. At the Paul's Valley hunt, they also have a big cookout night and auction night. There were, I think I talked about it last year, like way more people than I expected. There's tons of people there, so I'll be sure to let you guys know when that comes up. And as always, you know, if you want to volunteer, whether it be your time, your money, your property, if you have some, you know, land around where they hunt and you don't mind letting some kids come hunt, that'd be fantastic. So if you want to, reach out to me and I can get you in touch with them. Really, really cool organization. So yeah, that was, 2 weekends ago. This last weekend, just kind of stayed home. Like I said, we had a bunch of family stuff going on. It was my brother-in-law's birthday. We went out to lunch with my parents, and then we had the funeral. So really busy this last weekend. But as I mentioned earlier, tomorrow morning, I'm headed to Nebraska. So my mom is coming with me again. We're taking my daughter. So it's going to be a fun little road trip. Once we get up there, my sister just had their second baby last October, November. I should probably know more about that. They had their second, but her oldest is, 2 months younger than my daughter. So my wife and both my sisters were all actually pregnant at the same time. So really good time, hang out with the family, let the kids play and stuff. And I plan on getting after some turkeys, some Merriam turkeys at that. I talked to my brother-in-law on Monday. He said they've been seeing some right around the house, which is really cool. And then he's going to ask a couple of their neighbors for permission. His brother lives down the road and got some land there. When I went turkey hunting, I was really deer scouting. Like, that's the main reason I went up there. And I ended up having much better, turkey success than I expected, even though I didn't get one. I went during archery season. This time I'm going during shotgun. And like I said, last year I was so distracted by scouting for deer, I really didn't turkey hunt that hard. But this year, you know, I've been up there several times now. I got more lay of the land. Like, I feel like I'm pretty good deer wise. So this time I do plan focusing more on turkeys. Oh, I just hit my funny bone on the table. Sorry about that. Ooh, that hurts. But yes, so like I said, we're driving up on Thursday. I'll be able to hunt Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning. So hopefully we can get me a bird. And then my sister and brother-in-law have also talked about wanting to hunt. I think I mentioned my sister. Turkey hunting's like one of her favorite because I took her when she was, oh gosh, she was probably in high school or something like that. And we had a really cool experience with a tom coming in. She did not get it killed, so she's never killed a turkey. But she has loved it and always wanted to go. And so with my mom coming, my mom can help watch the kids so my sister can get out. And, you know, she gets a little break from the kids, gets to do some hunting. Win-win for everybody. So very excited about that trip. As soon as I get done with this podcast, going to start packing up. One random thing. I want to ask everybody out there for some help. I've been doing a little bit more turkey hunting this year than usual. And I'm really enjoying turkey hunting. And I wanted to get a new choke for my shotgun, like a turkey choke. And for the first time in probably a decade, I attempted to take the choke out of my shotgun, and it would not budge. It's the original Benelli Super Black Eagle, like the one. I've had it since I was 15. It's, I'm 34, so it's almost 20 years old. I probably haven't changed the choke out since I was in like high school, maybe college. So it's in there. And, I tried to get out myself just with like a regular choke wrench. And obviously that didn't work. Put some like pliers on it. That didn't work. Looked up some YouTube videos and, they said like take it to a gunsmith and gunsmiths, you know, have all these special tools and stuff. And I've actually taken it now to, two different gunsmiths. And neither of them could help me. I guess it's just not a very common thing. Like most gun shops just want to like sell AR-15s and stuff, or mount scopes. I don't know. But so anyway, if you're out there and you're listening to this and you either have a trick on how to maybe take it out or know somebody that I could maybe like mail the barrel to or drive it out to, something like that, please let me know. One of the gunsmiths did mention maybe like soaking it in really hot water to try to loosen that up. I don't know. It seems like that might make it worse. Granted, if it's in there, it's in there. But yeah, so if you have any tips on getting a stuck choke out of a shotgun barrel, please shoot me a message or an email, something like that. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, or okoutdoorspodcast@gmail.com. So yeah, thought I'd throw that out there. Look for some tips. So, all right, let's get into the actual episode. And today, we're going to be talking about land mostly, several different aspects of it, mostly like hunting land. And kind of what brought this topic about is for the last couple of years, I've been looking for more hunting land, like a lot of people, you know, you can never have enough. And recently, I've been looking into maybe getting on a lease. I've been looking at maybe purchasing a little bit, you know, like a small piece of land, something like that. And it's just kind of, I don't know, it's brought about a few frustrations and also a few realizations. So yeah, I want to talk a little bit about buying land, leasing land, public land, owning land, just all the different ways and things and stuff that has to do with land. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Like I said, it might be a little bit of a shorter episode, but I think it's going to be good, and I would love to hear what you guys think about all these different topics. So that's what we got going. Thank you guys for listening, and we're going to get into it right now. All right, folks, let's talk land. And it was kind of funny because I've been planning on doing this episode for about a week now and gathering my thoughts and everything on it. And this actually is at lunch today. I was watching a video on YouTube while I was eating my lunch, and it was a Whitetail Properties hunting video. But in the beginning, the guy was talking about how pretty much everybody in this country, it is their goal to own land. Like whether you are a hunter or not, like almost everybody dreams of owning land because it's yours. You can do with it what you want. You know, even if you just like to fish or hike or ATV or whatever, like land allows you to do those things with quite a bit of freedom. And that's been my dream as well. And even though, you know, I have access, like my family owns land, and you know, I have access to it and everything like that. There's something about having like your land, and y'all know my frustration with the cows and everything, and it's gotten a lot better. You know, I've learned to deal with it. My dad and brother have helped a lot with, you know, working around my hunting a little bit, you know, keeping them out of certain areas and stuff like that. But I think everybody dreams of having like their own piece, and I do too. Some land that I personally have 100% control of. Probably never let a cow on it. You know, maybe fence off a little section or something if I wanted to. But for the most part, probably going to be cowless. And I just like dream of having my own little wildlife sanctuary. And I think, like I said, I think most people do. So not quite, I think, to the point in my life where I can afford to really do that. Just with a young family, married, and all that good stuff. Like, there's probably just a few other things that are a little bit more important in the, at this time in my life. But I'm still looking all the time. Like, I love looking at land. You know, one kind of frustrating thing about it is if you live anywhere kind of along I-35, whether it's Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, I've never looked too much further north like Nebraska, but for the most part, the further west you go, the cheaper land gets. Like, it's just not as populated, don't get as much rain, it's not as fertile typically. And so, like, the further west you go, usually the cheaper it's going to get. Well, I live kind of more towards the east. And so, like, one thing, like, I could probably afford a little place if I went, you know, pretty far west. But I'm like, is it really worth owning it if I have to drive, you know, 4 hours or whatever to get to it? Like, that's not really what I want either. Because then it's like, you know, it's a trip to go out there. And I'd love to have a place that, you know, obviously the ultimate goal would maybe be to live there, but if you don't live there, hopefully within an hour, like a place you could literally drive to hunt like an afternoon or an evening and come home. So that's obviously the goal. And again, just like at this point in my life, I just don't really think that is an option. So obviously going to keep looking, going to keep dreaming, going to keep working towards it. Like that is an active goal that I am working towards. But probably just not there. And so that brings up kind of the next best thing, which a lot of people do, and that is lease the hunting rights on a piece of property. And this is something that I've never really looked into that much, honestly. Like I said, I've always been pretty fortunate to have, you know, family land to hunt. Sometimes it's been better than others. This piece we got right now, pretty darn good, like very happy with it. But again, I'm always looking for more, and part of my, well, I'm looking for more land in Oklahoma. Like I said, you can never have too much, but I've also been looking in Texas because the last couple years, you know, I've been very fortunate to fill both my tags in Oklahoma, and Texas is closer than, you know, most of the other states, and it's a good hunting state. And so I've actually gone and I've got a subscription now to like two different leasing sites. And I've just been a little frustrated with the results. Like you know, almost any of them, you can search like a state or a county even. And, you know, like you search a certain county and it'll say there's 16 leases in that county. It's like, oh, sweet. Well, then you go to it and 15 of those 16 are already leased. And the one that is available, like there's probably a reason it's still available. Either it's super expensive, or it's just not in a very good spot. One other thing I've noticed is a lot of these people running these leases are way overdoing the hunting. Actually, I found one, and I'm not going to say where it was, but it was 1,100 acres, and I think they had 16 hunters on it. So that's like one hunter for every 60 acres or something like that. Like there's just no way that's sustainable. And so that's kind of a downside to it. Again, also just the availability, because I think it is so hard to find a good lease that when somebody does find it, they don't want to let it go. Like they just, you know, lease the same one over and over again, which I probably would too. So that's been a little frustrating. And then also, you know, just kind of the availability, like I talked about. So yeah, I just feel like that's not the best route to go either. So I think I'm going to probably be canceling those subscriptions soon. I don't know. One of them, I think part of the reason too, I think I started looking a little early. Like I started looking in kind of that January timeframe. And I think a lot of those leases were still going. I have noticed when I looked the other day, you know, April-ish, that some of those are being freed up. So I don't know, still considering that. Another thing that makes it hard though, is just like looking for a lease for just me. because again, like a lot of these people will have bigger pieces of land, but they're trying to get the most bang for their buck. And so they're trying to get like 5 to 6 people. And, you know, let's say it's, you know, it ranges anywhere from 2,000 to 7,000 per person. Well, you know, if they want 5 hunters, I can't afford, you know, $10,000 to $15,000 for just me. Yeah, I might as well buy a piece for that. So that's been hard too. And then, man, I can just keep complaining. I know I'm probably preaching to the choir. But that's part of the reason I'm doing this, because I know a lot of you guys out there have these same frustrations. Because some of like the smaller pieces that like I could afford to do by myself, like they're probably just not that great. You know, there was one I saw, it was like 60 acres. It was fairly affordable, but it's literally like a wide open cattle pasture. Like I don't think there was a single tree on it, and they had like cattle active on it. It's not like a Great Plains, you know, native grass and stuff that cattle are going to work through. And they wanted like a couple thousand bucks for that. And it's like, that's probably just not worth it. And so that has kind of led me down the road. Well, two different roads, and I'm going to hit public first, and then I'm going to talk about like knocking on doors after that. So I think there's a pretty good chance that I could find myself hunting a little bit more public land this year. I never know. Our place is so funny. I talk about it all the time. You just never know what's going to come back. But for the first time in, you know, 5 years, I don't have the 2% buck to kind of keep my hopes alive. I killed Stone. The buck that was with Stone, I have not seen him since like October 7th or 8th, something like that. And I purposely passed that deer, even though he was bigger than Stone, to try to let him get a year older. He could still be out there. He just, you know, it was time for him to shift to his fall pattern, and he shifted it. And as far as I know, he hasn't come back. And I didn't have many up-and-comers. I had that one, I've posted it on my Instagram quite a bit. I have that one nice, he was an 8-point with matching kickers on his G2. Really, really cool deer, but I think he was just a 3-year-old. So, that, you know, this year he'd be a 4-year-old, so I'd really like to give him one more year if possible. And I say all this to just like, I don't have a single, like, for sure 4-year-old that I'm pretty sure is coming back. I don't have that deer that I'm like dreaming of this year. So I'm like, all right, this is the deer that I saw last year and I didn't kill him and I want to kill him this year. There were two different pretty nice 8-points that I had several pictures of that are good. They're good deer, but they're not like keep you up at night good. All that to say is, who knows? Like I said, you know, Stone, I'd never seen him before. He was a great buck and he just showed up. So there's still that chance. And I'm going to be putting in just as much work this year as I did last year. I need to get my food plots planted. I've already got the protein feeders going and stuff. I've been trying to track down some mineral to put out. I'm putting in the work. I'm hoping to draw these bucks in. But like I said, I just don't have that buck that I'm dreaming of. So I've done some, you know, scouting and stuff of public around, so pretty good on that. I've been doing some scouting of some other public places a little further away. A place that, you know, might be cool to do kind of like a adventure hunt type thing. You know, like, you know, just a couple hours, but drive, camp, you know, go in, fresh sign, you know, never having seen it before, stuff like that. And that is fun to me. Like, I enjoy that type of stuff. So, might be doing a little bit more public land hunting, might scout the local public land a little harder. Like this last year, I really didn't do any, cause my hunting time was a little bit more limited, you know, with my daughter and everything. But might be doing a little bit more hunting on public land. And then the last thing I kind of want to touch on is permission. And so I've been really hitting this hard this year. The last couple of years I've done a little bit. I mentioned, I think last week, that, you know, last year I made like 2 or 3 phone calls to ask on some places. Year before that, I made a couple phone calls. I think it's been 2 or 3 years ago now that I sent out a bunch of letters. Like I had, you know, found some places on Onyx, used Onyx to get like the tax address and mailed out some letter. I think I mailed out 10 or 12 letters. Out of all that, I got one response and it was a no, which I was appreciative that they wrote me back and told me no. That just didn't really seem to work. The whole letter thing didn't really seem to work. And so I've been, you know, spending some time on Onyx again, and I've been making a list. But I recently discovered something that I think is going to be a game changer, and I'm going to share it with you guys. and that is whitepages.com, like the phone book. And it's a subscription thing, so you got to have a subscription. But basically what I've been doing is I'm big in Excel. I use Excel spreadsheets for a lot of stuff. So I've been making a list on Excel of properties I want to hunt. And so I put, you know, the owner, the acreage, and like a brief description, you know, 80% timber in this area, blah, blah, blah. So a little bit of description. And then I put the tax address on there. And I've been forming my list. And my goal is to get at least 10 different properties that I want to try to get permission on. And this is to Oklahoma and Texas. I thought about throwing Kansas on there because, like I said, I'm pretty sure I'm going to draw. If I do actually draw that tag, I might throw some Kansas names on there also, just for the heck of it. But yeah, so I'm getting that done. And then I looked into the White Pages subscription. I think it's like $12 a month, something like that. The White Pages, basically you can look somebody up and find out everything about it. Like, you can find out their address, phone numbers, recent addresses, properties that they own, like almost a scary amount of information on them. And so I think I'm going to basically, like I said, I'm going to make my list and then basically pay for like 1 month's worth of subscription for the White Pages and look up all these different properties and get all the different phone numbers. And I'm going to start making some calls. Cause a lot of these properties I've found, the people don't live on them. In some cases they do. But I've also found, like, I had a buddy who let me, borrow his, you know, or not borrow his, but like, he just kind of showed me. And I found that a lot of times the address that was on Onyx was not right. You know, it was like a PO box or as an old address or something like that, which got me to thinking, like, all those letters that I sent out that I only got one response. Maybe that's because the other 9 or 11 or whatever that I sent out went to some address of somebody who had no idea what I was talking about. And so, all that to say, I'm still going to keep looking on the leases a little bit, but I'm pretty much giving up on that. I just don't know if going through some leasing agent or something like that is going to be worth it for me. But I do think that I'm going to try to make some calls and get some permissions this year, which is super awkward. I've been like playing conversations in my head and trying to get used to the idea and practicing and stuff. And it's just weird. Like, I like calling somebody up and be like, "Hey, I've never met you, but can I, you know, take a weapon onto your property and try to kill something?" It's a little awkward. But I think, you know, if I am serious about it, I think that's what it's going to take. And so, all that to say, I think that is my goal for this year is I'm setting it at 10. My goal is to call at least 10 landowners and ask for permission. And one thing that I'm going to call 10 no matter what, I guess is what I was starting to say. Like, let's say I called number 2 and get super lucky and get permission. Like, why the heck not go ahead and call the rest of the list? Because, like I said, it never hurts to have more places to hunt. So that is my goal this year, to call at least 10 people. Been trying to figure out when the best timing is, because I'm afraid if I call, like, too early in the year, they might forget and have time to change their mind. But I also don't want to wait too late in the year to where, you know, I don't have time to get out there and scout and get set up for the season. So, probably sometime soon. I'm thinking, you know, late May, early June is probably going to be a good time to start making those calls and try to get some permission. So, I'd be very interested to hear from you guys. If you're out there and this is your thing and you're really good at getting some permissions, please reach out to me again. I already gave you all my email and stuff in the intro. I'd be really curious to see how you do it. So I keep trying to tell myself, the worst they can say is no. Like, that's the worst thing that can happen, is they can tell me no. So not that big of a deal. Just got to get over it and go for it. So, like I said, kind of a weird random podcast this week, but this is just kind of, this is what's been on my mind this off season. I told you guys last week, like, I've been really kind of getting into deer mode. But it's been a little different this year, because I think a lot of it has to do with me killing the 2% buck. Like, the last so many years, like, that's the buck that I've been focused on, and all my kind of off-season daydreaming has been like, how can I kill this deer? And now he's gone. And like I said, I don't really have that, like, automatic next up-and-comer that I'm kind of dreaming of. And so My thoughts have been really a lot more elsewhere instead of on my typical property, which is kind of exciting. Like, I love a new challenge. That's part of the reason I've been doing a lot more out of state hunting the last couple of years. Obviously I love and always will love hunting our place. But there's just something about trying something new, learning a new area, learning new deer, learning new topography and habitat and all that stuff that, I just really, really enjoy it. Like it's that new challenge, and that's what I've been chasing. And I think that's what a lot of hunters out there are chasing, just that next challenge. So yeah, that's what's been on my mind lately. Like I said, I thought I'd share it with you guys because I know a lot of you out there lease land, ask for permission, knock on doors. Like a lot of people aren't blessed to just have a place to hunt. So yeah, even though I feel like this is kind of a little bit of a random podcast, not super informative, like I feel like I'm just kind of word vomiting a little bit, I thought it was important to share with you guys just because I know that I'm not alone in these endeavors. So like I said, if you're out there and you're looking for a lease or knocking on doors or whatever, I'd love to hear from you and hear how your experience has been. I do think there's good resources out there for finding leases and stuff. Like I said, some of those subscriptions are really not that bad if you got like a group of guys. And if you're looking for a family lease or you got a couple buddies or something, and I would love to do that with some of my buddies, but I don't know. Like I said, I've just always kind of been a little bit of a loner when it comes to deer hunting. I know a lot of people love that like deer camp feel, and I do too on occasion. But I've just always been kind of a loner when it comes to deer hunting, because I think I enjoy that alone time and, you know, kind of stepping away from the world and just having, you know, my thoughts to myself. So yeah, I'm maybe a little weird in that aspect, but, just something that I've, always kind of done when it came to deer hunting. So yeah, like I said, kind of short and sweet this week, but that's just kind of the stuff that's been on my mind. Wish me luck. If you guys have any other questions, feel free to reach out. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I feel like I just kind of gave some advice that I don't know if I can actually back up yet. So I'm going to keep doing my homework. I'm going to be reaching out to some people, and I will definitely keep you guys updated. So, all right, I think that's going to do it. I apologize for the shorter episode, but I still have a lot to do tonight. Most likely next week, hopefully I'll be talking about my successful Nebraska turkey hunt. The turkeys have not been treating me well this year. Struck out in Texas, even though I had only had one morning. Struck out on the hunt with the Oklahoma Outdoor Outreach Foundation. So this is probably my last chance. Seasons are going to be closed here in about 2 weeks or something. But after being out of town hunting three of the last 4 weeks, I'm not sure I'm going to get another chance. I don't know. We'll see. My wife is pretty dang awesome. I'll throw that out there. But all right, that's going to do it for me. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. And until next time, I will see y'all right back here on the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.